welcome back to We Bought a Mic, a podcast about movies, television, music, and the Oscars, the 96th
yep.
Academy Awards are this weekend, and it is an annual tradition for us to fill out our little handy-dandy Vanity Fair Oscar ballots on the podcast. Welcome. My name's Ernest.
Welcome to the We Bought a Mic. I lost my train of thought. This is Hunter, lover of all things cinema and the Academy. Who would you guys thank first in your Academy acceptance speech?
The Lord our God, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
The Academy.
Yeah, well, that's the favorite. Usually, it's the Academy.
Big Oscar. Are you a bigger fan of the Academy or the Solar Bears, Drew?
I'm a bigger fan of the Academy is ..
There you go.
Yeah, mid-2000s pop punk band. I actually don't even like them, but I like the Academy even less.
I
don't care about what they're up to. Making my picks based off an article, which is what won me the entire pool last year.
Drew, I need you
to eat shit, you fucking losers.
Well, Drew, I just can't wait for you to give your more in-depth thoughts on Maestro. Now that you've had another like 17 sessions to try and
knock that out,
bad boy.
So usually we spend way too much time on this. I want to abbreviate this by basically acknowledging that this is going to be an Oppenheimer sweep, right? So really what we should focus this discussion on is like, what Oscars is Oppenheimer not going to win?
Well, so yes, but I did want to say, like, big picture wise, I am very, very interested in what society writ large is going to think about this Academy Awards, because you're right. Oppenheimer is like the most lock that we have had in Best Picture since I can't even remember when. Like, it's a bigger lock than Everything Everywhere last year, which was a lock. Okay. And going back, it
a lot of people are saying it's like Slumdog Millionaire.
Yeah, where Slumdog Millionaire won literally every critics group. It won every like award leading up to it. And so it seems like it is this behemoth that's unstoppable. And you might think, will people want to watch that? But at the same time, $1 billion worth of people went and saw Oppenheimer. And also, Barbie made one.
And also, people aren't as aware of like the precursors. They don't know. If you ask a random person, like, what do you think is going to win Best Picture? They're like, I don't know. Maybe Oppenheimer. Like, they don't know the certainty of it.
Well, and I think that one of the thing is, and you're probably right about that, that like Joe movie in Kansas who doesn't really care too much but goes and sees like four movies out of
I feel like that guy would love movies. I don't know.
No, he actually resents them because of his last
name. I think talking about Brian.
Yeah. No, but like they might just like know of a couple movies and might tune in. But the thing is, I'm interested to see what the public's perception of this awards is going to be, because this is like the first time at least since 2019 that there's movies that people have seen that are in the Oscar conversation, if not well before that,
right?
That it's like the highest grossing movies of the year, also the critically.
Yeah, we forgot what this used to be like. Your Titanics, your Return of the Kings, the movies that were the biggest movies of the year. I mean, even something like movie we covered on the show recently, Rain Man, right? That's a Best Picture winner that was also the biggest movie of the year, right? So it seemed like that was something that wouldn't happen again. And yet here we are. Chris Nolan, it's his moment. So we are going to go through all the categories and make our predictions. And I think Hunter has some special little bets that he's going to be placing along the way.
Yeah, well, I'll wait for one of them.
Yeah,
Which is the
Hunter has a great parlay, which is like odds for Maestro to win Best Picture and Jason Tatum to score like 57.
Yeah,
in the
I'm everybody's telling me hedge, and I know that
the Eagles will lose and Bradley Cooper will punch someone.
God, if only we could combine those things.
Is your understanding of parlays just based on what's that movie called? Silver Linings Playbook.
No, there are. I was looking on here at some of the prop bets that you can get. These are all at offshore books that are illegal and don't bet on them. But one of them is on here, and a shout out to Bet Online for this one. You can bet will Kanye West sport titanium teeth on the red carpet?
Is he invited?
2-1 odds.
Kanye is not going to go to
the office. Do you get your money back if he's not there?
I don't think so.
Why would he be?
Also, why is that only 2-1 odds? Why is that not like 200-1 odds? Do they know something that we don't know? Is Kanye going to be at the Oscars?
He's got titanium teeth.
But will he be?
So if he's there, I think he's wearing them.
I am titanium. All right. So best picture. Oppenheimer is my
you're starting right at the top. You prediction. Aren't even this is let's start at the bottom. I know that it's Oppenheimer. We don't have to.
I'm telling you.
Have you ever like made a list?
Have you ever watched the Oscars?
No, Ernest, you know what you're trying to do right now? You're trying to be Steven Soderbergh in the 2020 Academy Awards, and you're like, we're actually gonna announce the best picture, not last.
I want to do these. I want to do these out of order because I want to get like, let's just do all the ones that Oppenheimer is going to win first. Let's just knock those all out.
Maybe the definite ones. I want to leave open the ones that are question marks.
Director is going to be Christopher Nolan. It's his moment. 15 years after the big Dark Knight not being nominated debacle, he's coming back for everything.
Happy for him.
I will say, yeah, these two things are happening. Nolan's winning director and Oppenheimer's winning best picture. Have you guys heard? And this is, it's just going to be noise. It's not actually going to be happening. It's not going to happen in any kind of a real way. But the rumors in the mill that Zone of Interest is actually running at 2 right now.
Sure. But it's like an incredibly distant 2.
But that's the thing. Once again, Academy, release the fucking ballots, because how cool would it be to see Zone of Interest is actually the number 2 movie of the year. That would have been sick to see if we did the whole idea that I've been pitching for years, which is we eliminate a nominee, one of the 10, as the broadcast goes along. It's like within the first 10 minutes, sorry, Maestro, get your fucking fake nose out of here. Like, you got last place.
Yeah, and then like, they have to leave.
Yeah, they can't.
No, I was going to say he has to stand on stage the whole time.
He has to strip naked and get on a podium, a frozen
a 10-level podium. He has to get on the bottom.
Everybody has to look at him. Yeah.
And piss in his pants.
Honestly, that would be better than...
Whatever.
I mean, here's the thing. He can just go up there. He has to continue to do like Joe Rogan podcasts about how he hates his kid. Listen, I just want this to be over for Brad. I just want him to stop.
Yeah, we all need to move on. Sad.
Bro thinks he's Louis.
Actress in a leading role.
Well, let's. This is what I'm saying. This is why it's. I don't understand why you're doing it this way.
So that we're not here for another hour and a half.
This isn't an hour and a half. This is Ernest. This is the Academy Awards only happen once a year. Let's take some time to savor this moment. Let's make it 4.5 hours.
Documentary short. Where are we at?
I don't want to do the shorts.
What do you mean you don't want to do
them? You have to pick the shorts. We've done this every year.
The shorts are always like a waste of everybody's time.
Yeah. So I Googled it and it said the ABC is a book name. So I'm picking that. Okay.
But
you can't. You can't do that. Just
I'm gonna pick.
Fuck.
So
they've learned my trick.
I have not seen any of the shorts this year. That's shame on me. I was going to at the NZN Theater, and then I ran out of time.
Live action short looks like it's going to be the Wes Anderson one, The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar.
Have you guys watched this short? On Netflix.
I think I fell asleep.
It's very good.
I think I started it.
You know, it's like, it's a good
experiment. This is the one with Ben Kingsley.
Yeah.
As like a blind guy that can see.
Yes. Yeah. It's fun. You know, it's fun. Animated short is a little bit more of a toss up. So you're going to be conflicted based on what website you're looking at.
Well, one of them says inspired by the music of John and Yoko. So I'm just guessing that one's just going to win just because it says that.
Looking on here, Letter to a Pig and War is Over are two of the like nominees that are both kind of neck and neck with each other. Letter to a Pig is like the timely one that's like the most important for our time. I am actually also going to go with War is Over.
Yeah.
Inspired by John Yoko. But I have seen on one or two websites where Letter to a Pig is actually the favorite choice.
Visual effects.
Drew,
what
are your thoughts on these? Drew, I need you to speak on Letter to a Pig.
Have you ever written a letter to a pig?
I've seen that before. I think it's called Charlotte's Web.
Jason Clarke and Oppenheimer. What was in the letter?
Drew, you haven't written down anything. What are you going for these shorts? I'm to make your picks.
I'm doing independent research.
You have to make your picks by the time that Ernest moves on to a next category. It counts as a miss. That's a rule that we're making.
No,
right?
No.
We're making this
rule. You can go back to it.
Hear that, Adam? You're out entirely.
No, well, because you're not here. He's not on the podcast with us.
Visual effects. It's leaning towards the creator, I think, would be the sensible pick. Although, apparently, there is a Godzilla Minus One contingent that has been rising out of the depths of the Pacific Ocean.
So, this is the first one that is a little bit more of a toss-up that's actually interesting.
On Vegas Insider, category. Godzilla Minus One has -175 odds, the creator +125. So they're actually giving the edge to Godzilla.
I am too. I think Godzilla Minus One is going to win the Oscar, and I'm going to hoot and holler. It's one of the best 10 movies that I saw last year, and it's a banger.
I think the creator won the VFX Guild.
Yeah.
It won some kind of precursor.
Well, so the creator won the VFX Guild, but Godzilla Minus One is a Japanese movie. So I don't think it was nominated for that. So, but it is a thing where you're right. It won the precursor awards that were leading up to that.
But it didn't have to go up against.
I could absolutely see it's kind of a two horse race between the creator and Godzilla Minus One. Ernest, I think because you drafted the creator in the film league,
I got to
take it. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I got a ride.
You know what, Ernest?
And the VFX are great.
If you win the career, you know what? I'll give you an extra 100 points on the Fantasy Film League rankings to see what that is for you.
Hey, that'll put me in fourth place? Maybe?
Okay, maybe.
All right. This one might be one of the deciders on the night. I'm going the creator. Sound.
What are your thoughts on VFX? Have you seen these movies?
I think
you saw Guardians.
I think the creator doesn't get this, but it does get Best Picture.
Yo, now yeah, we're
talking. It's gonna write in ballots are gonna happen here.
Sound,
I'm gonna write in RFK Jr.
Sound, I think, is gonna be between The Zone of Interest and Oppenheimer. Again, like I said at the beginning, this is gonna be a night of how many awards Oppenheimer doesn't win. And if we see Oppenheimer rack up, you know, upwards of 7, 8, 9 Oscars, it's going to take Sound, right? This might be one of those nights where it's just like every single one is just Oppenheimer.
This is one of the ones that I am very interested in because I do think that for a certain type of person that's just checking the Oppenheimer boxes down, this is going to go to Oppenheimer. But I will say the guilds themselves have like a lot of weight in these subcategories. And the Sound Guild has so much admiration for what Jonathan Glazer did with Zone of Interest. I personally do. It's one of the best sound designs I've ever seen in a movie ever. I'm voting with my head and not my heart, though, and I'm giving it to Oppenheimer.
On Gold Derby, they're pretty even.
Yeah. I think that I really think that this is a toss-up and go either way. I want it to be Zone of Interest. I really, really want it to be, because I think Zone of Interest deserves it. But
the way Gold Derby also does not do odds in the way that like an actual book does odds. Yes.
Well, they like, don't have the sound category on.
I know. I know. That's the thing. You Vegas have to Insider. Use it. But like, keep in mind, like their odds are not like real odds because like they're like long shots. The longest shot here is like 9-2. And that's an actual long shot is way longer than that.
So I'm just on BetUS and I'm going to see if it's different on BetOnline as well. But in BetUS, I didn't even see this earlier. Oppenheimer is a -250 favorite. Zone of Interest at +150, and then everything else is 20-1.
So that's I mean, that's not, you know, that's not super far away.
Yeah, it's not crazy off. You are having to pay like $20 to win $10, or $25 to win $10 on a sound for Oppenheimer. So it is a solid favorite, but not an overwhelming favorite. I will just say, I don't love the movie, but like the fact that Maestro is down as like not even being considered is a little bit insulting to our boy.
It's great.
The sound is impeccable.
Yeah. Well, it's just because most people saw it on Netflix. Yeah. Didn't see it in a theater.
That's
the sound in the Zone of Interest is like, it is kind of a seismic shift.
It's a character in the movie, some might say.
Yeah. Like what they do with sound in that movie is unlike anything.
It's 6 million characters in the movie.
Yeah. Whoa. Incredible.
Where are you seeing these on BetUS?
If you go,
you have like some special.
Yeah, I actually have my
part of it unlocked.
Who showed it to me? No, just go over to the entertainment.
There's also sportsbookreview.com, which shows DraftKings, FanDuel.
Listen, Ernest, I'm in enough different books right now. I have enough different offshore accounts in Barbados and in Morocco and everywhere else. I don't need to keep opening up more.
We can bet on the Razzies.
You can.
That seems so easy to fix. Yeah. If I gave the Razzies like $20,
like six guys who actually
they would do whatever I told them to.
What's nominated? Shazam 2.
Hey,
I'd give that worst movie. I kind of want to go Zone of Interest. I kind of want to zag do here.
I think this is a good spot to zag. Like, there's really going to be five or six categories that are going to decide it.
Because I feel like this might be one of those things where this is the one category where it's like we can recognize the Zone of Interest. It's not going to win anything else. And we can there's a lot of love for this movie. It won the LA Film Critics Circle for Best Film. Like, there could be enough to put it over the top for just this category, yeah, which would be fitting.
That's a bummer, because I agree with you, but I've already made my check mark.
But I mean, the odds are in Oppenheimer's
favor. Well, if you did it, you do such a big. See, I just do a little check mark that I can always scratch it out and then just like
that's fucked.
Check a new one.
You can't.
Production design is one of our first like major battles between Barbie and Poor Things,
and Oppenheimer.
And Oppenheimer.
I really think
Like we're saying, how many Oscars will Oppenheimer lose?
I am just saying that I think that there is a less than zero shot that Monday morning we wake up and we're like, Oppenheimer won 10 Oscars. Can you believe that shit? We saw one of the most dominant days ever.
It wouldn't stop. It was unstoppable.
Yeah. This feels like that's definitely a thing. It's so far not even being discussed. But if we're talking about the like will win, should win, everything, Killers of the Flower Moon not being discussed is a goddamn shame, because the production design Killers,
especially
unreal.
The man,
so fucking
Jack Fisk is the lead production designer on that film. He's a legend.
Such a shame.
Yeah, I don't think he has an Oscar.
I don't think
But he's this old man who worked on a bunch of Terrence Malick's movies and is just like very, very highly revered in the industry as like one of the best production designers of all time.
Yeah, the fact that they're like, I read the book and they're like, oh no, we fully created this world that is a world that we live in, is unreal. But unfortunately it's going up against two fantastical worlds in Barbie, which is wholly created, and then both a fantasy and period piece in Poor Things. And both of those are generally like, if you make a high fantasy or you make a well done period piece, either one of those win production design. That's why I think it's going to go Poor Things.
Here's something interesting. I'm looking at Vegas Insider. If you look at last year, the odds for last year for this category, the favorite was Babylon. With -225.
Yeah, we all thought that was going to be the only one that it got.
Do you remember who won this category last year?
Oh, it was, what's it called? The war movie?
All Quiet on the Western Front. +900 odds.
9-1. Wow. You can take some long shots in these guild. For listeners at home, Oppenheimer is 9-1 right now.
Yeah. I do think the safe choice is Poor Things here, Didn't Barbie win a precursor here?
It might have.
In production?
Yeah.
So production design, I'm going to read the odds off on BetUS again. Poor Things minus 180, Barbie plus 105. So those are both like relatively even odds.
I've made a choice here. I've gone with Barbie because I think voters are going to want, because we're going so open heavy.
We got to have some. I don't want Barbie to just get best original song.
Exactly.
That's going
to
be bad.
Like, people are going to want to piece in some Barbie love. And it is very deserved, by the way. I would kill for Poor Things or Barbie to get this. They both deserve it so much. They both have some of the best production design in years. So I'll be happy either way. But when I think of Barbie, I think production design.
I think Barbie's going to win one of these similar, but I think it's going to come in a later category that we'll talk about here.
I'm so torn.
Where are you at here?
What if I just went Killers?
Killers is 40-1 odds. So if you got $5 you want to throw down, you should do that on these.
That's too much.
Yeah. Napoleon technically has shorter odds than Killers of the Flower Moon, which is preposterous to me, but whatever. Happy.
It's got to be between.
Didn't The Favorite win production design? It had to have, right?
The Favorite, I think, just won Olivia Colman.
Did it not win any of the technical awards?
I think it won some more.
I thought that it won production design, which is another reason why I was leaning Poor Things, because I think it's the same crew that worked on The Favorite. I could be making that up, but.
No, it was just actress.
Wow. Okay.
That was the only Oscar it won.
Hey, that's fucked up.
The question is, how much is the Academy going to embrace Poor Things? They obviously love it. It got a bunch of nominations. But so did Barbie. So did Oppenheimer. You can't win them all. Like, this is, for some of these, it's really tight.
Remember when Ernest was just like, Hunter, you're going to be the one to make this episode last a long time?
Damn it.
Remember that?
Damn it.
Remember when I was the source of the vamping?
Yeah, we always take way too long. It's like, oh, yeah. It's always my fault. The guy gives half the fucking shit.
Do we need to skip it and come back to it? Are you ready?
You know what I want to say? For everyone making fun of Bradley Cooper because he just keeps losing everything, bro's all over this fucking list.
Right?
Maestro's everywhere on here. Yeah. It's not going to win shit, but that's something.
Hey,
hard getting nominated?
It might get one. We're about to get to it right after I make my
best pick
for this. I think because I zagged last time, man, this doesn't make sense, but I'm going to do it. I think I'm going to go Oppenheimer here.
I love it.
I think.
Listen, and you were worried our ballots were all going to match. And look at that. We've got some.
I think like
here.
It kind of covers my base a little bit for going for zone.
Yeah, you can still kind of cover it up that you might end up having, like, we might still all end up at the same total number.
Also, they built the bomb. That's production design, baby. He's standing next to that bomb. Come on.
Sure.
They built Los Alamos.
They built those marbles that he puts in the pot. They built the sheets that she took in.
They did. Makeup and hairstyling.
Best nose.
If Maestro's going to win any Oscars, this might be the only one.
If Maestro doesn't win this, then Maestro is not winning anything. This is it. This is its only shot.
What's its biggest competition? Poor Things?
Poor Things is, probably. I think, the leader.
I think it's going to be Maestro. I think that everybody is talking about the makeup, and a lot of times best makeup and hairstyle, like this one, I think The Eyes of Tammy Faye won a year or two ago. And I think that the makeup is like kind of bad in that movie, but it's just a lot of it.
And The Whale won last year.
The Whale. Yeah. It's always like, what is the most makeup rather than what's the best?
The character in anything that had the most hair this year was Emma Stone in Poor Things, though.
That is true.
That's not her hair. I'm going with Poor Things. It has awesome makeup and hairstyling, but not that necessarily matters. It's but
probably most well done out of
her fucking eyebrows are crazy.
Here's what I'm worried about with all these below the lines. If Poor Things takes production design, makeup, and costumes, that pretty much means that Emma Stone is going to win Best Actress.
Yeah,
and I don't. want to necessarily go down that route.
I was going to say,
for my ballot.
Are you saying that you don't want that to happen, or you don't think that that's going to happen? Because those are two different things here that we have to think of our head or our
heart. I think it's very unlikely that Poor Things picks up two or three of these below the lines and then Emma Stone loses. I think if Emma Stone loses, then you might see Poor Things lose these below the lines too.
I think Poor Things is going to win a few of these below the lines.
I think it might go with zero.
You think it might shut out?
Yeah.
Okay.
It might pull a ye old Irishman.
We'll talk about if a different movie is going to pull an Irishman, because there's another movie that happened to be made by our boy Marty that also has a chance to go home with zero.
Oh boy. Maestro. Yeah. Come on, Bradley. Let's bring it home. Yeah. Let's move on with our lives. Let's keep it pushing.
Make like something fun. Make something light. Just make something. You know what? He needs to make his Punch Drunk Love, where he's just like, I'm going to make a project for myself. I want this movie to be 90 minutes. I don't care if it's perfect or not. I just want to make something that's nice and fun. It's going to act as a reset for my career so I can make There Will Be Blood. Punch Drunk Love is a crucial movie in the PTA canon because it needed to get him out of the funk.
Yeah,
Magnolia, I know.
The problem is
PTA had already proven the ability to be fun.
Well, that's true.
And Bradley Cooper might just not have any fun in him as a director.
There are some fun parts in the movie. He's reeling it in. I'm reeling it in.
Come on.
Okay, it's sure.
All right.
Yes. So then he has the ability to show fun parts. Let your fun freak flag fly, and don't try and tell me that a movie is about Carrie Mulligan in the press, because I can't feel it myself while watching the movie.
Yeah, the film is really about Carrie Mulligan.
Jesus Christ.
He did bathe with his dad.
Yeah,
isn't that what he said?
Yeah, no, he would shower naked with his dad, just like he likes to, you know, swim naked in the frozen rivers.
It's okay, Bradley. You're gonna be okay.
Yeah. I love going on one radio show and saying I love my naked dad and I don't love my son.
He said he maybe thought he didn't love his son, maybe
real
his
men.
Daughter just like daughter. I just see this thing, I'm like, this is fucking freaky alien, I don't know about all this.
That
what are your intentions?
It's true, it's really like woke equality. I said this in our group chat, to have postpartum depression without having a child, without giving birth. Yeah.
He also said he missed Leonard Bernstein like in front of his children and started crying. Because when you channel the character, it's like you knew him.
They're like, Dad, you could have just done more Hangovers and like gone to every Eagles game you wanted to. And you're like, you'd be so rich and you could like love us more. He's like, no, I got to make the film.
Maestro is a great movie. And that's all I'll say.
Strong word for it is all I will say. All right. This will be a quick one.
Oppenheimer.
Yeah. If there was an upset pick here, I think it's Anatomy of a Fall.
Sure.
Because I think that movie is really well edited. I think that
all these are great.
Second.
Killers, Holdovers, Poor Things.
It's going to Oppenheimer, though. Oppenheimer is the most aggressively edited movie. And once again, this just going back to makeup and hairstyling, this is a movie that rewards the most editing.
Yeah.
See fucking Bohemian Rhapsody win best editing.
On Gold Derby, it's not particularly wide of a margin.
Derby doesn't have wide margins, bro. Look at the numbers to the left instead of the odds. Don't look at their odds at all on Gold Derby.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
The top choice column.
Okay. Their odds are nonsense.
Anatomy of a Fall is only 4-1 odds for best editing, which is not crazy underdog. It's Oppenheimer's -900, which is a pretty heavy favorite, but Anatomy of a Fall at +400 is not like out of the realm of possibility. Don't spend your money on Oppenheimer at my assignment.
Costume design is another death match between Poor Things and Barbie.
I hate pitting women against each other like this. We should, you know what I mean?
I'm giving this one to Barbie.
I think this is probably Barbie.
I think that I have them splitting this.
It's a very costumey movie.
I think that, and I could be wrong in these, I could have them flipped, but I think that production design and costume design are going to be split between Barbie and Poor Things. And yeah, you're right, Drew, that it is like, we're going to have the two like female fronted movies, put those together as like, those are the costume movies about set design, but we don't make the fucking categories. So.
See,
and also both of them do have incredible production design and incredible costume design.
I'm going for costume. I'm going Barbie for production and costume, and then I'm slipping in my Poor Things love in makeup and hairstyling. You know what I mean?
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's a wow.
I guess I'm splitting them three ways. So that Poor Things.
I would love for Poor Things makeup, to win
costume
something as cool as cinematography, which it absolutely deserves just as much, but it's not in the discussion.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Yeah,
unfortunately.
The odds for costume. So FanDuel has -140 for Barbie and -105 for Poor Things.
Wow. That's like,
yeah,
just like dead even pretty much then.
And honestly, they have pretty similar odds for makeup and hairstyle too. -140 for Maestro, +105 for Poor Things. So it's these, I like I'm saying, these are the categories that are going to actually be the nail biters of the night.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's what the masses tune in for, is like, costume. Give me that costume design.
But it's Barbie. It's the biggest movie of the year. I'm gonna go Barbie here.
Barbie has to win more than just one Oscar. Like, it has to, man. It's gonna be a really tough look if it just like only wins Best Original Song.
Cinematography, Oppenheimer.
Yeah. Hoyt von Hoytema. Give it to our boy.
Is he an Oscar winner? No, he's not.
Nominated.
Wow. What a moment.
I believe he's been nominated.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's ever won.
Probably Interstellar was his first nomination.
Did he shoot Dunkirk?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he got
it. Oh, maybe that was.
Yeah, I think
he got it. Maybe that was, yeah. Okay. Original song. It's between the two Barbie songs. I'm Just Ken and What Was I Made For?
Drew, do you have any thoughts on The Fire Inside from Flamin' Hot, the Flamin' Hot Cheetos movie? The Diane Warren song pick of the year.
I hate to delay I'm going to put that on.
Can you play this song?
Can you play it on your, so we can all hear
it? I have not listened to this song yet. I think that this is, when they announced it, I was like, sure. And then it said, written by Diane Warren. I was like, of course. There
what,
we go. That's,
what is going awesome. On with this lady that she always gets nominated?
She just like, look, the Academy just like loves her. The fact that this took Dance the Night Away is a crime, without actually listening to this song.
What's the name of the song? It is not on Spotify.
Yes, it is. The Fire Inside from the original motion picture Flamin' Hot by Becky G.
Oh, okay. Here we go. All right.
Oh, is it a Becky G?
Oh, it's
song?
A Becky G joint.
Okay. I'm absolutely in love already.
So Diane Warren is the songwriter.
I could have told you that.
Very Latina coded.
Instantly could have told you that.
This is a film by Eva Longoria.
Eva Longoria like
in attendance to hear Becky G perform.
She's going
to
be on stage. Eating Cheetos.
Will Tony Shalhoub be there?
There's going to be Shalhoub a giant
Flamin' Hot.
There's going to be a giant Cheeto that comes down.
Do you think that they should play this song immediately after What Zazie, the song for my people from Killers of the Flower Moon?
I'm actually excited to hear that. That's going to be great.
Just go one right after another. Like, ooh, that was a little bit of a bummer. So let's step it up now with Becky G.
Cheetos.
This song sucks.
Really? You want me to turn it up louder?
It's all, there's no highs in it. Like I don't know if Becky G just doesn't have a lot of vocal range, but someone needs to be hitting high notes. It should be the instrumentation. It's all lows and mids here.
Yeah, I don't care for Becky G, but we're going to keep this about positivity on this podcast.
Okay.
I've never said anything.
Billie Eilish or Mark Ronson?
Billie Eilish is heavily favored here.
Yep.
And
I'm gonna go there.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily know why, but I mean, she's like an eternal awards darling for for life. And she also like is really good.
And it's a great song.
Yeah, she's a great song. I know. It has way more like weight than it should have any credit to.
And I mean, just every year with the Academy, they're always going to give it to the ballad. Like this always goes to a ballad and not the best song or the most like fun. Because like I'm Just Ken is the best song in the soundtrack.
Right. But
listen, we're going to get to see it perform. We're going to see Ryan Gosling shake his little tush up on stage as Ken. And that's going to rock.
Okay.
I'm looking forward
to that. Category is Ernest.
It's Kennedy.
The next category is a key opportunity for you to finally get dialed in.
Oh, yeah. My boy, John Williams, my 92-year-old son.
I think, Ernest, so we gave you the option of if you pick the creator, we would give you an extra 100 points. If you pick Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, I'll give you 1,000 points towards
What are the betting odds?
If he picks Dial of Destiny, he gets a half point.
Just for having it, you get a half point.
Plus 2,500 on DraftKings.
I don't, so I can't
250 to one. No, that's not gonna happen.
It's Oppenheimer.
93-year-old John Williams. So good for him.
I don't think Oppenheimer should be such a runaway here. It has an awesome score, but so does Killers of the fucking Flower Moon.
God.
R.I.P. So Poor Things, by the way.
Robbie Robertson.
Yeah. Aww. R.I.P. Robbie Robertson. That would have been an awesome posthumous Oscar to give him if it wasn't Oppenheimer's year. Oppenheimer is a great score.
It's Ludwig.
Awesome. So.
Documentary feature, probably.
Have you guys seen any of these movies?
No.
Naiad?
This is the best documentary. 20 Days in Mariupol, I think, is the Ukraine war one.
That's the only one of these that I've seen. It's like, I don't know, probably like the most affecting movie that I saw last year. The most harrowing movie that like you'll ever see. That's almost like barely a movie. And it's more of just like the worst kind of like war crimes and shit that you'll possibly see. So it's definitely gonna win, and that'll be a nice moment. They can go up on stage and talk about Ukraine and
listen here, Vladimir Putin, sir, we won't stand for that here in Hollywood. Yeah.
And you're canceled,
sir.
I do wonder, there was actually, I lost the odds. I can't remember which website I saw, but there was a, you could bet on, this won't happen in as blatant a way as it did at the Spirit Awards, but will the award show be interrupted by Palestinian protests?
Whoa, that could happen.
It was like 350 or something like that. So it wasn't like crazy high odds, but I mean, the thing is with the Indy Spirit Awards, they shoot those in a tent, so you can like hear people outside chanting Free Palestine. It's not going to be the same way for this, but I'm interested to see how much we'll see of that, especially with Hollywood, which is, not the most pro-Palestinian.
Honestly, you know what could happen? Some of these below the line, like craftspeople, you could, because they're not like a movie star or something, you could see one of them just being like, when they go up to accept their Oscar, like Free Palestine, then they get tackled off stage.
I don't think that they would be, I think we will definitely hear at least one person call for a ceasefire. I don't think that we'll hear the term Free Palestine, but I think we will hear for some
And
reason.
Will it be Jimmy Kimmel trying to make a horrible joke?
That was fucking weird.
God, this 20 Days in Mariupol. Hey, that's about how long it took me to watch Oppenheimer.
Ooh. Animated feature. I feel like Spider-Verse had this, and now Boy and the Heron is kind of,
it's rising, because it's the whole like, is this Miyazaki's last is this gonna be your last chance to give him an Oscar? I'm
because they gave the first Spider-Verse the Oscar,
so that's why I'm going with Spider-Verse. But the thing is, it will be kind of weird if Spider-Verse, the third one, comes out in a year or two, and then each entry in the series wins Best Animated Feature. Like, that's never happened before, where every movie in a trilogy wins an Oscar. It'd be pretty unheard of, but I still am going with Across Spider-Verse. It won the Annies for animated awards, but I wouldn't be shocked.
It's so good.
It's a banger. Both of them are bangers. Both of them are two of the best movies of the last year.
The odds are really close. FanDuel has minus 210 for Spider-Verse and plus 140 for Boy and the Heron.
I don't know about this one. It won the Annies, and yet it, like, very, like, publicly, like, animators were, like, abused while making this movie. That just not, doesn't matter.
I mean, I think, well, that's, I don't know if it does so much in the Animated Guild, but I wonder if that sentiment resonates with the Academy as a whole. Like, if actors are just like, man, we also see that struggle and everything. We're gonna
It's just, like, if it, if anyone would care, it'd be animators, I think.
But also, I don't know. Animators are, it's like animators and video game designers for just, like, the most abused people in any kind of entertainment industry where they just work, like, 100-hour weeks and nobody.
I'm picking the Boy and the Heron.
Nice.
Fuck it.
Maybe that
Miyazaki won the Oscar for Spirited Away, which was 2003. That was, I think, maybe his big breakout into Western audiences.
Princess Mononoke was pretty good, but I think, like, that was the coronation, was Spirited Away.
So this could be, like, yeah, like, swan song, like, goodbye, Miyazaki. Thanks for everything you've given us. I am a little worried, though, because I have heard a lot of people struggle with The Boy and the Heron. You know, like, not fully be able to embrace it, because it is a very weird movie.
Yeah.
I just wonder, like, how much the crowd of, like, let's reward the King Miyazaki would win over, like, the achievement of Spider-Verse.
People might be lost in this. I do question how much people actually watch the movies that they're being told to watch, or they see, like, oh, Annette Bening and Jodie Foster in this. I should probably vote for them.
I'm going to go Spider-Verse. International film, it's the zone of interest. Although, look out for Society of the Snow.
Have you seen that?
No, but I'm just saying. I'm just saying, there's a lot.
Look out.
I've heard it's good. I don't think that that has a shot. I think that this is like, this, whenever we're talking about the Oppenheimer locks, I think this is about just as.
I mean, it has, yeah, it has a Best Picture nom.
Yeah.
It has to. Okay, the two screenplay ones are going to be
this is very
interesting. So first adapted, famously Barbie got moved from original into adapted because it does say in the opening credits based on Barbie by Mattel. So I guess if you put that in your credits, you can't go for original. Sorry about it. Will Barbie win out over Oppenheimer?
No. American Fiction is favored.
That is crazy to me. How is that happening?
Here's the thing. I'm picking American Fiction. I'm picking American
Why
Fiction.
Why is this a thing? I'm so confused.
Because every year, well, not every year, I shouldn't say every year, but a lot of times the screenplay nominations, it generally happens in original screenplay and not adapted, but it can happen in both of them. This is like the one time that you can give like the cool hip movie that was like a little bit of a critic's darling. It's one Oscar win that we'll have. What I can't figure out is if it's going to be American Fiction in adapted screenplay or if it's going to be Past Lives in original screenplay, because I could see either one of those as being like they were like critically loved and they do have like something to say about like our time, like right this time right now, well, in society. But I'm going with American Fiction for adapted. I could very easily see Oppenheimer winning this.
Yeah, no, that's what I was about to say. Like, if we're talking sweep, we're talking sweep.
Yeah,
like every single time, like just look at last year, Everything Everywhere. That movie did not lose screenplay. Parasite did not lose screenplay.
I'm going Barbie because it, I think the only reason it, like, its odds aren't charting better is because it was an original for so many races.
Yes.
And that's entirely what odds are based on, is like, did it win?
And it's kind of been all over the place in the season, the category that it's being placed in.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go Barbie. I'm not feeling incredible about it. I think it has a better chance than Oppenheimer. By the way, we need to start calling, we need to start doing what Joe Coy did and his, now
everybody's saying this, that we need to start doing with Joy Coy.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Everyone's trying to steal his shit said after his incredible Golden Globes monologue. We need to start calling it Oppenheimer for no reason. Because why?
I like Oppenhizzle.
Why did he keep calling it Oppenheimer? It wasn't part of like a joke or anything. He was just like, that movie's so Oppenheimer so long.
Oh my. I've watched that monologue multiple times. And I don't know what's wrong with
you. Just watch the crowd like turn on.
Yeah, because it's like it's fascinating to watch. It's like a character study.
Did you guys
listen and watch him panic in real time? That watching that
turning
was,
on the
no, watching that was just like made me think like you have so much greater of an appreciation of Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah,
because I'm like, oh, Jimmy Kimmel's like an adult.
He's a class act.
Like he knows like when something's not working, when to move on, never to become adversarial at any point, but like to keep control. Yeah. So maybe we should vet our guys a little bit more. Here's to John Mulaney hosting next year.
Come on now.
That would rock.
Come on now.
It's been heavily teed up, baby. I'm ready for it.
I am prepping myself for a true sweep. I'm going Oppenheimer for this.
I like it.
I just don't see how like it doesn't swallow up all these like potential categories. I mean, I went a couple different ways here. But for this one, I just look at all the sweeps in history.
You know what? You're right. You're right. I can definitely see that. It's just been so long since we have had a true sweep like this, where something is winning nine Oscars. Like that would be insane. 8 or 9 Oscars would be wild. But I think it could definitely happen. Barbie, I would love. Barbie would make me so happy to see. To be honest, American Fiction is the of the three of these, probably the one that I'd be least excited for to see win. But that's the one that like makes most sense in my head.
Original screenplay, I think I'm gonna go with Anatomy of a Fall.
I keep going back and forth between Anatomy of a Fall, Holdovers, and then Long Shot of Past Lives. There's just something about the Holdovers where like it's like we're just gonna give it to Divine Joy Randolph and then that's it for the Holdovers,
right?
When that felt like that was when it really felt like Holdovers was gonna be the challenger for Oppenheimer. Like that was the movie that was gonna pop up and then it just kind of got swallowed up. And just even the Paul Giamatti noise, we'll get to it, has been so
where is that point. Where is that reachable? Where do you watch Holdovers?
Peacock.
It's on the cock.
It's on the cock.
Okay. How many people have the cock? I think that one good thing that comes out of the Oscars is a lot of people are going to seek out the Holdovers and like it. It's not like an unapproachable movie. It's very easy to watch. It's my favorite original screenplay. Well, that or May December.
May December is my number one.
But
shout out to Maestro.
What are you gonna go with, Hunter?
I was just pulling up the odds here. Because
it's not particularly
I'm leaning Anatomy of a Fall.
Yeah. Although Holdovers is right behind it. I would be shocked if it's past lives, to be honest. Yeah, I mean FanDuel has -230 for Anatomy of a Fall, +240 for the Holdovers. And then Vegas Insider.
I'm going to give you Anatomy of a Fall because I don't have Anatomy of a Fall winning.
-200 Anatomy of a Fall, +150 the Holdovers.
I want Anatomy of a Fall to win one thing because it has so
people love this movie. It's a great movie.
Yeah.
So next up is Best Supporting Actor. I really got to say. So
RDJ.
The only one of these that I haven't seen is American Fiction. And I know Sterling K. Brown's a great actor. I would rather any of these other people win than Robert Downey. And I love Robert Downey. It's just why is that such a guaranteed Oscar?
It's like open up the golden gates to heaven, RDJ.
Every year there's at least one award that's given out that's decided from the get-go that is entirely narrative.
Yeah, you are derived, one of the greats.
And fucking that is
Robert De Niro. No one's is talking about the performance he gave in that fucking movie.
Nobody's talking.
To be honest with you, I would give it to Ryan Gosling.
Yeah, I'd give it to Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah, it's all of
them. Like, fuck me. I'd give it to any of them over this guy.
I would even give it to Sterling K. Brown over RDJ in Oppenheimer. Like, I do, if I'm just going my personal preference, I have RDJ in 5th out of these 5 nominees.
People are so,
man.
People feel so good about the performance because it is so different from Iron Man.
Yes, there's that. It's the whole, it's everything about RDJ's career, about like he was somebody who started out on top and then fell to the lowest of the lows, was arrested and everything else, came back and like kind of saved and transformed Hollywood in a lot of ways. And now this is him like trying to shed that mold and show like I am still a capital A actor. And also he, I'm not the first person to say this, like he out charmed and out charisma Ryan Gosling on the campaign trail.
Every time he gets up there, it's like, brother, he is just
and apparently it's at every party, everything that he is out there, he's just out risen Gosling. And it's just kind of insane. Like he is just doing, running a pitch perfect campaign.
He makes it look so easy.
It's one of like the best campaigns that I can remember an actor running like ever, where it's just like, I don't know how you're doing it, but it's going to go to him, whether it's deserved or not. It's not a bad performance, so it's not like we're giving it to fucking...
No, it's a good performance.
Mean Rhapsody.
Yeah, it's like a super good performance. It's just like, that's like the 10th best thing about that movie.
Exactly. I still stay to this day, I would have given it to Matt Damon or Krumholtz over RDJ.
The Krum. I'd give it to Einstein.
Yeah. Actress in a supporting role, Jodie Foster Nyad, everybody. Don't look anywhere else. Don't look at the odds. It's Jodie Foster Nyad.
Okay, all right. Yeah, okay.
We all love Nyad. We all saw Nyad.
Listen, Nyad is a movie that I have seen. I saw it. I was drinking out of my Nyad water bottle. I took a little shower, cleaned myself off with my Nyad towel.
I don't mean to bring this back up, but if you don't vote for the actress in The Color Purple, I fear the worst for you.
Ernest, Danielle Brooks is right.
I did like the performances in that film. That was one of the things I enjoyed about the movie.
Yeah, you just didn't really care for the story. You couldn't relate to it.
And she was great in it. She was probably the best part of the movie. This is one of the most locks of locks. It's Davon Joy Randall.
Hey, yeah. And she fucking deserves it. She's awesome.
She is also like low-key one, actually even more dominant than RDJ Jr. Yeah. Because also winning all the critic circle stuff leading up to this.
Fully unstoppable. The movie would be so different without her. Mm-hmm. If it was just our two boys, the balance would be off. Like she adds
lot. No, 100%. That said, I would still be more than happy to give Giamatti best actor, like if I were just choosing, because he's so on another level in that movie. I'd give best supporting actor to that kid.
Sessa?
I think the three, that's one of the best like trios that like really drive a movie.
Everyone
adds a
very specific flavor.
Mm-hmm. Can I just say real quick, this is a preview of next year's Wabammies. It was a Wabammy that should have been granted this year and I completely forgot to give it out, but I had to write it down while watching a movie on here, and it is the Wife Award for the most successful awards campaign for a mediocre movie. And that goes to Nyad. Congratulations everybody, to Nyad. Because goddamn is Nyad a mids-ass movie, and they just saw Annette Bening and Jodie Foster and wanted to check the box.
Actor in a leading role. Another well, I was about to say Gauntlet, but it's looking like it's gonna be Killian.
It's Killian. I wish that it was more of a competition.
If Paul can do it.
Well, I think if Holdovers win screenplay, there's going to be a moment. Well, I don't think it's necessarily Paul, but there's going to be a moment where we're all like kind of looking at each other like, is there a chance?
Yeah.
I don't think that that's going to happen.
Here's something fun. Cillian Murphy. The guy's going to win Best Actor. The winners of the last couple Best Actors, I mean, this one's going to go down as like one of the best in a while. Because listen to who has won in the last couple of years.
It's tough.
Last year was Brendan Fraser for The Whale. I'm talking like just about the movies, not the actors. He's great in the movie. That's the thing. It's like he's great in the movie, but it's like.
Yeah, the movie is just all.
Will Smith and King Richard.
Good.
Anthony Hopkins and The Father.
Actually, that is an incredible performance in a great movie.
Joaquin Phoenix and Joker.
But in a one that beat Chadwick Boseman, so, you know.
Rami Malek and Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oof.
Gary Oldman in Darkest Hour.
Eesh.
Casey Affleck, Manchester
by the Sea. I want credit for World War II.
Remember when Casey Affleck tried to shoot his brains out in the police station?
Leo DiCaprio in The Revenant. Eddie Redmayne in The Theory of Everything.
Ugh.
So that's the last decade.
That's
so I think it Killian, like
we talk about performance and movie.
You can you can put the facade of like biopic, you know, historical biopic over this win and say, like, yeah, of course the guy who plays the real historical figure will win, duh. But when you compare it to some of these other ones, it's like the win is gonna rank up pretty high up.
I think this is sort of the big triumph of the movie, and really the thing I'm proudest of Christopher Nolan for is like he actually wrote a movie that someone could get best actor for.
Right.
You know what I mean? Most of his movies do not require much acting.
Yeah. And also for Killian, like Killian Murphy, one of the best things about this campaign season is like the dude is not a Hollywood guy.
No, bro's weird.
He lives in Ireland with his family and he does not like really care about any of this stuff. He actively
doesn't really like this whole campaigning thing.
Yeah.
He's gonna do a Pesci. He's gonna go up and be like, "It was my pleasure.
Mm-hmm. Thank you."
And leave.
So it's gonna be really nice to see Academy Award winner Killian Murphy. Like, holy shit, the guy from 28 Days Later.
Mm-hmm. The guy from Red Eye.
Yeah. Oh, Drew, I meant to ask you this when you brought up last week the film class you took, the queer cinema. Did you watch Breakfast on Pluto?
No.
You know what I'm talking about?
I skipped a couple classes.
Jesus Christ.
Maybe that one was in the syllabus. Do you know? Have you ever heard of it?
No.
So Lee just put this movie on recently. And it was like after we were doing a pod and I just walk in. She's watching Killian Murphy in Breakfast on Pluto.
Transgender woman.
Yes. Yeah. Very early Killian performance. Just watching him like really go off with this character that would never, like, he would not be allowed to play today.
Yeah.
But he did great. It did not feel off tone at all. And it's just like this very, very Irish movie, like extremely Irish movie.
Didn't Liam Neeson, Brendan Gleeson.
That's what I'm saying.
This is like a who's who of Irish guys. Stephen Rea.
I'm not sure like the movie holds up as like a great movie, but it's like, it just kind of took me aback. Like, oh my God, this is going to be our newly minted best actor in like a very early role. So check it out. Breakfast on Pluto. All right. The big, big, big one of the night. This is going to be what a lot of the excitement is going to be building up. Best actress. Is it going to be Lily Gladstone or Emma Stone? Where are we going here?
I truly cannot decide here what I want to do.
It's such a coin toss.
This is like the one thing where they have truly gone back and forth in the awards, like this entire circuit. You know, I really like coming out of Golden Globes. I was like, okay, cool. This is Lily Gladstone. She's going to win. It's going to be an awesome moment. But then like, as it's gone on, there have been some of these little like anonymous surveys and some of these other little precursors that are coming out and people talking, using the word brave for Emma Stone's performance.
Yeah. And also,
and
the fact that Lily Gladstone's like kind of not a lead performance in a lot of ways. Like,
I've been on this tip, man. It's a supporting role.
She kind of disappears for a lot of the movie.
I do think it's smart to put her in lead.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, yeah, that totally was the smart move to do. The thing is, if Lily Gladstone does not win this, then that means Killers of the Flower Moon is getting shut out.
Yeah.
Because I don't think either of us put down Killers of the Flower Moon for any of their awards.
No. I think.
And are we going to have The Irishman too? Will we have it two times in a row where Marty gets a whole bunch of Oscar noms and walks home completely red-handed and we just don't appreciate
it? I don't know. It would be fucked for this one more than The Irishman. This one deserves something.
Right.
Yeah.
I think this is a better movie than The Irishman. I think that people, I know that there's the fucking just driven into the dirt joke of, oh, it's 3.5 hours, it's so long. Shut the fuck up.
You know it's 3.5 hours. Oppenheimer.
Yeah. Oppenhizzle. The movie resonates. It's nominated for a ton of Oscars. A huge contingent of people are on board with this movie. The length is really the only complaint I've really heard that holds any water. Like, yeah, there's some things that you could say
it's
about
not a
like
real complaint, man.
Right. It's not a real complaint.
This movie, so, it's a 5-star movie in my opinion.
So the movie is widely beloved. And I think people are going to be looking to give it something. And I think people are going to be looking to make history because this would be the first win for Native actor mm-hmm. ever.
Yeah, for a Native Indigenous actor.
Oh, this is so hard.
The thing is, though, it's like voting with a head and a heart thing because also I could just see immediately after the ceremony, it's people because at this point, Emma Stone, if she wins the award, the masses aren't seeing Poor Things and aren't going to think about like how incredible Emma Stone is in Poor Things and how deserving she is a best actress. Instead, the internet is going to become the worst place imaginable and it's going to be like the Oscars so white thing all over again. Yeah. And it's not going to account for the quality of
it's just sad because she already played an Asian person in that Cameron Crowe movie.
It's like
she's probably begging them not to get for this Oscar.
The thing. Like I think it was in the SAG whenever Lily Gladstone won. That was the last thing that she won. And Emma Stone, like immediately as soon as they said Lily Gladstone name, like stood up and started clapping. And there were some people who were like, look how genuine it is. Some people were like, oh man, she's really acting, really playing up how excited she is. I think that she doesn't want to win this Oscar. Like she kind of does, but also you don't want to be the person who took away the Oscar from what might be the, like, who knows when the next chance that we're going to have a Native woman that's going to be nominated for Best Actress.
And the other thing is Lily Gladstone is a huge part of what makes this movie work and what makes it resonate emotionally. Mm-hmm. And the whole campaign for this movie has revolved around her.
Leo gave up his opportunity to be like he forgot to campaign for himself because he was just campaigning for Lily
and
Gladstone.
Above all that. Yeah, she could be in the movie more, but she's fucking incredible in it. And this, I mean, the nomination alone is huge. This will like elevate her career immensely. And
she's already like getting like Hollywood, you know, like
no, she's
like
gonna be in
deadline
shit.
News updates already. She's signing.
Dude, she was on Marc Maron. Lock the gates.
That's the end all be all.
I'm going for it. I'm going Lily. I was so happy when she won the SAG. I just like jolted just alive and I want that to happen. I want to feel that.
I put Lily too because I'm voting with my heart a little bit here.
What do you mean she's favored?
Are you going to get
very slightly?
No, it's very slight. Like
she's favored though.
And yeah. I actually looked on two different websites, and one of them it was like -130 Lily, and the other one was -130 Emma Stone.
I'm seeing
Vegas Insider has -175 Gladstone, +125 Stone.
BetUS -250 Gladstone, +130 Stone.
That's still close.
Yeah, that's still not crazy. Like I think that anything that is less than like 3-1 odds is totally plausible for the Academy Awards.
I know.
Like, because the thing is, it's not going to go chalk. It is absolutely 100%. It's not going to go chalk where every favorite's going to win every year. There is going to be at least one, whoa, surprise night. Maybe that's Past Lives winning screenplay. Maybe
or
that's
Zone and Sound.
Zone and Sound, something like that. That is going to be a heavy heavy underdog that will win.
Flaming Hot and Song.
There's just no, you're, it's just stinks because like what Emma Stone does in Poor Things is just,
it sucks. It's so narrative.
It was our favorite movie of the year.
And that's like,
it's an all timer.
That's a once in like a decade performance. Like that's the best performance period of the year for me.
Absolutely.
And it just doesn't, it's just like, so what? That doesn't mean it wins.
I have my favorite movie, Poor Things, going for 0 Oscars.
I have it with 1.
So.
Yeah. I was like, Killers has to win 1. We can't make the same mistake with Marty.
Yeah, I'm going Gladstone. I'm just like, I don't know. This is why I don't pay attention to these things. Because like, you know, I mean, I guess you could argue the same about it. It is politics. So, and you could absolutely say the same about politics. Like the person that ends up being the nominee, if you were to just look at them and like what they've done, you'd be like, this is the one. What?
Right. Well, I just, you know, we always say this, but just like the historical component, right? When little baby Hunter 30 years from now does the full watch through of all the Academy Awards.
God, I can't wait to sit that kid
down. And starts looking through all the winners and sees like, wow, Oppenheimer really won 8 Oscars.
Oppenheimer?
Is that the number that you have, is 8?
Yeah.
I also have 8. But it's funny that we have a different 8. We have, I think, 2 different categories from each other, which means that it could win 10.
Yeah. But yeah, just to reiterate from the beginning, director and picture, Oppenheimer. Congratulations, Chris Nolan.
Oppenhizzle.
All right. We did it.
Do you know how sick it would be like sitting down with my kid? My kid's like 10 years old and they're like, Daddy, I want to learn about the Oscars. And I'm like, sweet. Wings? Let's start with number 96. The year that Poor Things won Best Picture, kiddos, sit on Daddy's lap.
Are you going to name your kid Hunter?
The second.
I know.
You should name your kid Deuce, like like Jason Tatum did.
Yeah.
It's kind of badass.
Yeah.
Any kid named Deuce is a fucking athlete.
Yeah. No, you see a kid named Deuce.
That kid's D1.
Yeah. Day one.
All right. We did it. Thank you all for tuning in. Please rate, review, subscribe, like, and comment. Let us know your thoughts on our predictions. Enjoy the Academy Awards.
Okay, Carrie Mulligan.
That's how you know we've been Jesus podcasting. Christ.
I don't know what that accent was.
My voice just
failed. I've been shut out of all major categories.
Oh, no. They didn't like my nose.
I'm excited for our little party. I'm excited to... I'll make some popcorn. You know, we'll sit down and...
You're not invited if you talk during the ceremony. This is all... We're plugged in, sitting in our chairs.
I'm excited to see the shots of Bradley Cooper lose.
Yeah,
so I can long for him.
Do you think that
and let him know that he's gonna be okay?
A Cooper cam and he'll just be like smiling the whole time, just like without breaking as he slowly falls into insanity.
Stick around for Sleepless in Seattle, Dune 2, Interview with the Vampire. We keep it pushing. See you next time. Happy Oscars.
Bye.